which is good. It gives me time to grab his face and pull his focus to mine. "Holder," I say firmly, "ignore it. Please." "Yeah, ignore it," Brecken says. "He's just trying to piss you off. Max and I get that shit all the time. We're used to it." Holder works his jaw back and forth, breathing in slowly through his nose. The expression in his eyes slowly softens, and he takes my hand, then slowly turns back around without looking at the guy again. "I'm good," he says, convincing himself more than the rest of us. "I'm good." As soon as Holder faces forward, the laughter at the table behind us bellows throughout the lunchroom. Holder's shoulders tense, so I place my hand on his leg and squeeze, willing him to stay calm. "That's nice," the guy says from behind us. "Let the slut talk you down from defending your new friends. I guess they don't mean as much to you as Leslie did, otherwise I'd be in as bad of shape as Jake was last year after you laid into him." It takes all I have not to jump up and kick the guy's ass myself, so I know Holder has absolutely no restraint left in him. He begins to turn around, and his face is expressionless. I've never seen him so rigid. It's terrifying. I know something terrible is about to happen, and I have no clue how to prevent it. Before he can leap across the table and beat the shit out of the guy, I do something that shocks even myself. I slap Holder as hard as I can across the face. He immediately pulls his hand to his cheek and looks at me, completely taken aback. But he's looking at me, which is good. "Hallway," I say determinedly, as soon as I have his attention. I push him until he's off the bench, and I keep my hands on his back, then push him until he's walking toward the exit to the cafeteria. When we walk out into the hallway, he slams his fist into the nearest locker, causing a loud gasp to escape from my lips. The force behind his fist leaves a huge dent, and I'm relieved the guy in the cafeteria wasn't the recipient of that force. He's seething. His face is red, and I've never seen him this upset before. He begins pacing the hallway, pausing to stare at the cafeteria doors. I'm not convinced he isn't about to walk back through them, so I decide to get him even further away. "Let's go to your car." I push him toward the exit, and he lets me. We walk all the way to the car, and he's silently fuming the entire time. He climbs into the driver's seat, and I climb into the passenger seat, and we both shut our doors. I don't know if he's still on the verge of running back inside the school and finishing the fight that asshole was trying to start, but I'll do everything I can to keep him out of there until he isn't angry anymore. What happens next isn't what I'm expecting to happen at all. He reaches across the seat and pulls me tightly against him and begins to shake uncontrollably. His shoulders are trembling, and he's squeezing me, burying his head in my neck. He's crying. I wrap my arms around him and let him hold on to me while he lets out whatever it is that's been pent up inside of him. He slides me onto his lap and squeezes me tightly against him. I adjust my legs until they're on either side of him, and I kiss him lightly on the side of his head over and over. He's barely making any sound, and what little sound he is making is muffled into my shoulder. I have no idea what made him break just now, but it's the absolute most heartbreaking thing I've ever seen. I continue to kiss the side of his head and run my hands up and down his back. I do this for several minutes until he's finally quiet, but he still has a death grip around me. "You want to talk about it?" I whisper, stroking his hair. I pull back, and he leans his head into the headrest and looks at me. His eyes are red and full of so much hurt, I have to kiss them. I kiss each eyelid softly, then pull back again and wait for him to speak. "I lied," he says. His words stab at my heart, and I'm terrified of what he's about to say. "I told you I'd do it again. I told you I'd beat Jake's ass again if I had the chance. He takes my cheeks in his palms and looks at me desperately. I wouldn't. He didn't deserve what I did to him, Sky. And that kid in there just now, he's Jake's little brother. He hates me for what I did, and he has every right to hate me. He has every right to say whatever the fuck he wants to say to me because I deserve it. I do. That's the only reason why I didn't want to come back to this school, because I knew whatever anyone was going to say to me was deserved. But I can't let him talk about you and Brecken like that. He can say whatever the fuck he wants to say about me or Les, because we deserve it, but you don't. His eyes are glossing over again, and he's in absolute agony, holding my face in his hands. It's okay, Holder. You don't have to defend everyone, and you don't deserve it. Jake shouldn't have said what he did about your sister last year, and his brother shouldn't have said what he did today. He shakes his head in disagreement. Jake was right. I know he shouldn't have said it, and I definitely know I shouldn't have laid a finger on him, but he was right. What Les did wasn't brave or noble or courageous. What she did was selfish. She didn't even try to tough it out. She wasn't thinking about me. She wasn't thinking about my parents. She was thinking about herself, and she didn't give a shit about the rest of us. And I hate her for it. I fucking hate her for it. And I'm tired of hating her, Sky. I'm so tired of hating her because it's tearing me down and making me this person I don't want to be. She doesn't deserve to be hated. It's my fault she did what she did. I should have helped her, but I didn't. I didn't know. I loved that girl more than I've ever loved anyone, and I had no idea how bad it was for her. I wipe away his tear with my thumb, and I do the only thing I can think to do because I have no idea what to say. I kiss him. I kiss him desperately and try to take away his pain the only way I know how to do. I've never experienced death like this, so I don't even try to understand where he's coming from. He wraps his hands in my hair and kisses me back with such strength it's almost painful. We kiss for several minutes until the tension in him slowly begins to subside. I pull my lips from his and look directly into his eyes. Holder, you have every right to hate her for what she did, but you also have every right to still love her in spite of it. The only thing you don't have a right to do is to keep blaming yourself. You'll never understand why she did it, so you need to stop beating yourself up for not having all the answers. She made the choice she thought was best for her, even though it was the wrong one. But that's what you have to remember. She made that choice, not you. And you can't blame yourself for not knowing what she failed to tell you. I kiss him on the forehead, then bring my eyes back to his. You have to let it go. You can hold on to the hate and the love and even the bitterness, but you have to let go of the blame. The blame is what's tearing you down, babe. He closes his eyes and pulls my head to his shoulder, breathing out a shaky breath. I can feel him nodding, and I can sense his whole demeanor coming to a quiet calm. He kisses me on the side of the head, and we hold each other in silence. Whatever connection we thought we had before this, it doesn't compare to this moment. No matter what happens between us in this life, this moment has just merged pieces of our souls together. We'll always have that, and in a way it's comforting to know. Holder looks at me and cocks his eyebrow. Why the hell did you slap me? I laugh and kiss the cheek that I slapped. My fingerprints are barely visible now, but they're still there. Sorry. I just needed to get you out of there, and I couldn't think of any other way to do it. He smiles. It worked. I don't know if anyone else could have said or done anything that would have pulled me out of that. Thank you for knowing exactly how to handle me, because sometimes I'm not even sure how to handle myself. I kiss him softly. Believe me, I have no idea how to handle you, Holder. I just take you one scene at a time. Friday, October 26, 2012, 3:40 p.m. "What time do you think you'll get back?" I ask. Holder has his arms around me, and we're leaning up against my car. We haven't been able to spend much time together since what happened in his car at lunch on Monday. Thankfully, the guy who tried to start shit with Holder hasn't said anything else. It's been a rather peaceful week, considering the dramatic start of it. We won't be back until pretty late. Their company Halloween parties usually last a few hours. But you'll see me tomorrow. I can pick you up for lunch if you want, and we'll just stay together all day until the gallery showing. I shake my head. Can't. It's Jack's birthday, and we're taking him out to lunch because he has to work tomorrow night. Just come pick me up at 6. "Yes, ma'am," he says. He kisses me. He kisses me, then opens my door so I can climb inside. I wave goodbye to him as he walks away, then I pull my phone out of my backpack. There's a text from 6, which makes me happy. I haven't been receiving my daily promised texts like she said I would. I didn't think I'd miss them, but now that I only get one every third day or so, it bums me out a little. "Tell your boyfriend thank you for finally adding minutes to your phone. Have you had sex with him yet? Miss you." I laugh at her candidness and text her back. "No, we haven't had sex yet. We've done almost everything else, though, so I'm sure his patience will wear out soon. Ask me again after tomorrow night, I might have a different answer. Miss you more." I hit send and stare at the phone. I haven't really thought about whether or not I'm ready to pass that first yet, but I guess I just admitted to myself that I am. I wonder if inviting me to his house is his way of finding out if I'm ready too. I put the car into reverse and my phone sounds off. I pick it up and it's a text from Holder. "Don't leave. I'm walking back to your car." I put the car in park again and roll down my window just as he approaches. "Hey," he says, leaning into my window. He darts his eyes away from mine and he looks around the car nervously. I hate this uncomfortable look about him. It always means he's about to say something I might not want to hear. He looks back at me, and the sun is shining straight on him, highlighting every beautiful feature about him. His eyes are bright, and they're looking into mine like they would never want to look anywhere else. You just sent me a text that I'm pretty sure you meant to send to 6. Oh, God, no. I immediately grab my phone and check to see if he's telling the truth. Unfortunately, he is. I throw the phone on the passenger seat and fold my arms across the steering wheel, burying my face into my elbow. "Oh, my God," I groan. "Look at me, Sky," he directs. I ignore him and wait for a magic wormhole to come and suck me away from all the embarrassing situations I get myself into. I feel his hand touch my cheek, and he pulls my face in his direction. He's looking at me, full of sincerity. "Whether it's tomorrow night or next year, I can promise you it'll be the best damn night of my life. You just make sure you're making that decision for yourself and no one else, okay? I'll always want you, but I'm not going to let myself have you until you're 100% sure you want me just as much. And don't say anything right now. I'm turning around and walking back to my car, and we can pretend this conversation never happened. Otherwise, you may never stop blushing." He leans in the window and gives me a quick kiss. "You're cute as hell, you know that. But you really need to figure out how to work your phone." He winks at me and walks away. I lean my head against the headrest and silently curse myself. I hate technology. I spend the rest of the night doing my best to push the embarrassing text out of my head. I help Karen package things up for her next flea market, then eventually crawl into bed with my e-reader. As soon as I power it on, my cell phone lights up on the nightstand. I'm walking to your house right now. I know it's late and your mom is home, but I can't wait until tomorrow night to kiss you again. Make sure your window is unlocked. After I read the text, I jump out of bed and lock my bedroom door, thankful Karen called it an early night 2 hours ago. I immediately go to the bathroom and brush my teeth and hair, then turn out the lights and crawl back into bed. It's after midnight, and he's never snuck in while Karen was home before. I'm nervous, but it's an exciting nervous. The fact that I don't feel the least bit guilty that he's on his way over is proof that I'm going to hell. I'm the worst daughter ever. Several minutes later, my window slides up and I hear him making his way inside. I'm so excited to see him that I run to meet him at the window and wrap my arms around his neck, then jump up and make him hold me while I kiss him. His hands have a firm grip on my ass, and he walks to the bed, dropping me down gently. "Well, hello to you, too," he says, smiling widely. He stumbles slightly, then falls on top of me and brings his lips to mine again. He's trying to kick off his shoes, but he struggles, then starts laughing. "Are you drunk?" I ask. He presses his fingers to my lips and tries to stop laughing, but he can't.
"No."
"Yes."
"How drunk?" He moves his head to my neck and runs his mouth lightly along my collarbone, sending a surge of heat through me.
"Drunk enough to want to do bad things to you, but not drunk enough that I would do them drunk," he says, "but just drunk enough to still remember them tomorrow if I did do them."
I laugh, completely confused by his answer, yet completely turned on by it at the same time. "Is that why you walked here? Because you've been drinking?" He shakes his head.
"I walked here because I wanted a good night kiss, and thankfully I couldn't find my keys. But I wanted one so bad, babe. I missed you so bad tonight."
He kisses me, and his mouth tastes like lemonade.
"Why do you taste like lemonade?"
He laughs.
"All they had were these fruity frou-frou drinks. I'm drunk off fruity frou-frou girl drinks. It's really sad and unattractive, I know."
"Well, you taste really good," I say, pulling his mouth back to mine. He moans and presses himself against me, dipping his tongue further into my mouth. As soon as our bodies connect on the bed, he pulls away and stands up, leaving me breathless and alone on the mattress.
"Time to go," he says. "I already see this heading somewhere I'm too drunk to go right now. I'll see you tomorrow night."
I jump up and run and block the window before he can leave. He stops in front of me and folds his arms over his chest.
"Stay,"
I say. "Please, just lay in bed with me. We can put pillows between us, and I promise not to seduce you since you're drunk. Just stay for an hour. I don't want you to go yet." He immediately turns and heads back to the bed.
"Okay,"
he says simply. He throws himself onto my bed and pulls the covers out from beneath him.
"That was easy."
I walk back to the bed and lay down beside him. Neither of us places a pillow between us. Instead, I throw my arm over his chest and entwine my legs with his.
"Good night,"
he says, brushing my hair back. He kisses my forehead and closes his eyes. I tuck my head against his chest and listen to the rhythm of his heart. After several minutes, his breathing and heart rate have both regulated, and he's sound asleep. I can't feel my arm anymore, so I gently lift it off of him and quietly roll over. As soon as I get situated on my pillow, he slides his arm over my waist and his legs over mine.
"I love you, Hope,"
he mutters.
"Breathe, Sky. Just breathe. It's not that hard. Take a breath."
I squeeze my eyes shut and try to tell myself I did not just hear what I thought I heard. But he said it as clear as day, and I honestly don't know what breaks my heart more. the fact that he called me by someone else's name, or the fact that he actually said love this time instead of live. I attempt to talk myself down from rolling over and punching him in his damn face. He's been drinking, and he was half asleep when he said it. I can't assume she really means something to him when it could have just been a dream. But who the hell is Hope? And why does he love her?
13 years earlier.
I'm sweating because it's hot under these covers, but I don't want to take them off my head. I know if the door opens, it won't matter if I have covers on or not, but I feel safer with them on anyway. I poke my fingers out and lift the piece of cover up that's in front of my eyes. I look at the doorknob like I do every night. Don't turn. Don't turn. Please don't turn. It's always so quiet in my room and I hate it. Sometimes I hear things that I think might be the doorknob turning, and it makes my heart beat really hard and really fast. Right now, just staring at the doorknob is making my heart beat really hard and really fast, but I can't stop staring at it. I don't want it to turn. I don't want that door to open. I don't. Everything is so quiet. So quiet. The doorknob doesn't turn. My heart stops beating so fast because the doorknob never turns. My eyes get really heavy, and I finally close them. I'm so glad that tonight's not one of the nights that the doorknob turns. It's so quiet, so quiet. And then it's not, because the doorknob turns.
Saturday, October 27th, 2012, sometime in the middle of the night. Sky.
I'm so heavy. Everything is so heavy. I don't like this feeling. There isn't anything physically on my chest, but I feel a pressure unlike anything I've ever felt. And sadness. An overwhelming sadness is consuming me, and I have no idea why. My shoulders are shaking and there are sobs coming from somewhere in the room. Who's crying? Am I crying? Sky, wake up. I feel his arm around me. His cheek is pressed against mine, and he's behind me, holding me tightly against his chest. I grab his wrist and lift his arm off of me. I sit up on the bed and look around. It's dark outside. I don't get it. I'm crying. He sits up beside me and turns me toward him, brushing at my eyes with his thumbs. You're scaring me, babe. He's looking at me and he's worried. I squeeze my eyes shut and try to regain control because I have no idea what the hell is happening and I can't breathe. I can hear myself crying and I can't inhale a breath because of it. I look at the clock on the nightstand and it says 3. Things are starting to come back into focus now, but why am I crying? Why are you crying, babe? Holder asks. He pulls me to him, and I let him. He feels safe. He feels like home when I'm wrapped up in him. He holds me and rubs my back, kissing the side of my head every now and then. He keeps saying, "Don't worry," over and over, and he holds me for what feels like forever. The weight gradually lifts off my chest, the sadness dissipates, and I'm eventually no longer crying. I'm scared, though, because nothing like this has ever happened to me before. Never in my life have I felt sadness this unbearable, so how could it feel so real from a dream? "You okay?" he whispers. I nod against his chest. "What happened?" I shake my head. "I don't know. I guess it was a bad dream."
"Want to talk about it?"
He soothes my hair with his hands. I shake my head. "No, I don't want to remember it." He hugs me for a long time, then kisses me on the forehead.
"I don't want to leave you, but I need to go. I don't want you to get in trouble."
I nod, but I don't release my grip. I want to beg him not to leave me alone, but I don't want to sound desperate and terrified. People have bad dreams all the time. I don't understand why I'm responding like this.
Go back to sleep, Sky. Everything's okay. You just had a bad dream.
I lay back down on the bed and close my eyes. I feel his lips brush against my forehead, and then he's gone. Saturday, October 27th, 2012, 8:20 p.m. I give both Brecken and Max a hug in the parking lot of the gallery. The gallery showing has ended, and Holder and I are going back to his place. I know I should be nervous about what might happen between us tonight, but I'm not nervous at all. Everything with him feels right. Well, everything except the phrase that keeps repeating over and over in my head. I love you, Hope. I want to ask him about it, but I can't find the right moment. The gallery showing certainly wasn't the place to bring it up. Now seems like a good time, but every time I open my mouth to do it, I clamp it shut again. I think I'm more afraid of who she is and what she means to him than I am of actually working up the nerve to bring it up. The longer I put off asking him about it, the longer I have before I'm forced to learn the truth. "You want to grab something to eat?" he asks, pulling out of the parking lot. "Yeah," I say quickly, relieved that he interrupted my thoughts. "A cheeseburger sounds good, and cheese fries, and I want a chocolate milkshake." He laughs and takes my hand in his. "A little demanding, are we, princess?" I let go of his hand and turn to face him. "Don't call me that," I snap. He glances at me and can more than likely see the anger on my face, even in the dark. "Hey," he says soothingly, picking up my hand again. "I don't think you're demanding, Sky. It was a joke." I shake my head. "Not demanding. Don't call me princess. I hate that word." He gives me a sidelong glance, then shifts his eyes back to the road. "Okay." I turn my gaze out the window, trying to get the word out of my head. I don't know why I hate nicknames so much, but I do. And I know I overreacted just now, but he can never call me that again. He also shouldn't call me by the name of any of his ex-girlfriends, either. He should just stick to Sky. It's much safer. We drive in complete silence, and I become increasingly more regretful for reacting like I did. If anything, I should be more upset by the fact that he called me by another girl's name than by referring to me as princess. It's almost like I'm displacing my anger because I'm too afraid to bring up what's really bothering me. Honestly, I just want a drama-free night with him tonight. There'll be plenty of time to ask him about Hope another day. "I'm sorry, Holder." He squeezes my hand and pulls it onto his lap, but doesn't say anything else. When we pull into his driveway, I get out of the car. We never did stop for food, but I don't even feel like bringing it up now. He meets me at the passenger door and wraps his arms around me, and I hug him back. He walks me until my back is against the car, and I press my head to his shoulder, breathing in the scent of him. The awkwardness from the drive here still lingers, so I attempt to ease myself against him in a relaxing way to let him know I'm not thinking about it. He's lightly stroking his fingers up and down my arms, covering me in chills. "Can I ask you something?" he says. "Always." He sighs, then pulls back and looks at me. "Did I freak you out Monday? In my car? If I did, I'm sorry. I don't know what got into me. I'm not a pussy, I swear. I haven't cried since Les died, and I sure as hell didn't mean to do it in front of you." I lean my head into his chest again and hug him tighter. "You know, last night when I woke up after that dream?" "Yeah." "That's the second time I've cried since I was 5. The only other time I cried was when you told me about what happened to your sister. I cried when I was in the bathroom. It was just one tear, but it counts. I think when we're together, maybe our emotions become a little overwhelming, and it turns us both into pussies. He laughs and kisses me on top of the head. I have a feeling I won't be living you for much longer. He gives me another quick kiss, then takes my hand. Ready for the grand tour? I follow him toward his house, but I'm still stuck on the fact that he just told me he's about to stop living me. If he stops living me, that means he'll be loving me. He just confessed that he's falling in love with me without actually saying it. The most shocking thing about his confession is that I really liked it. We walk inside, and the house is nothing like I expected. It doesn't seem very big from the outside, but there's a foyer. Normal houses don't have foyers. There's an archway to the right that leads to a living room. The entire walls are covered in nothing but books, and I feel like I've just died and gone to heaven. Wow, I say, eyeing the bookshelves in the living room. Books are stacked on shelves from floor to ceiling on every single wall. Yeah, he says. Mom was pretty pissed when they invented the e-reader. I laugh. I think I already like your mom. When do I get to meet her? He shakes his head. I don't introduce girls to my mother. His voice is as detached as his words, and as soon as he says it, his expression drops, and he knows he's just hurt my feelings. He walks swiftly to me and takes my face in his hands. No, that's not what I meant. I'm not saying you're anything like the other girls I've dated. I didn't mean for it to come out like that. I hear what he's saying, but we've been dating as long as we have, and he still isn't convinced it's real enough for me to meet his mother. I wonder if we'll ever be real enough to him for me to meet his mother. Did Hope get to meet her? I know I shouldn't have said it, but I couldn't keep it in any longer, especially now, hearing him say other girls. I'm not delusional. I know he dated other people before he met me. I just don't like hearing him say it, much less calling me by their names. What? He asks, dropping his hands. He's backing away from me. Why did you say that? The color is draining from his face, and I immediately regret saying it. Never mind. It's nothing. I don't have to meet your mom. I just want whatever this is to pass. I knew I wouldn't feel like talking about it tonight. I want to get back to the house tour and forget this conversation ever happened. He grabs my hands and says it again. Why would you say that, Sky? Why did you say that name? I shake my head. It's not that big of a deal. You were drunk. He narrows his eyes at me, and it's clear I'm not escaping this conversation. I sigh and reluctantly give in, clearing my throat before I speak. Last night, when you were falling asleep, you told me you loved me, but you called me Hope, so you weren't really talking to me. You'd been drinking and you were half asleep, so I don't need an explanation. I don't know if I really even want to know why you said it. He brings his hands to his hair and groans. Sky. He steps forward, taking me in his arms. I'm so sorry. It must have been a stupid dream. I don't even know anyone named Hope, and I've definitely never had an ex-girlfriend by that name if that's what you were thinking. I'm so sorry that happened. I should have never gone to your house drunk. He looks down at me, and as much as my instincts are telling me he's lying, his eyes are completely sincere. You have to believe me. It'll kill me if you think for a second that I feel anything at all for someone else. I've never felt this way about anyone. Every word coming from his mouth is dripping with sincerity and honesty. Considering I can't even remember why I woke up crying, it's possible his sleep-talking really was the result of a random dream. And hearing everything he just said to me puts it into perspective just how serious things are becoming between us.
I look up at him, attempting to prepare some sort of response to everything he just said. I part my lips and wait for the words to come, but they don't. I'm suddenly the one needing more time to process my thoughts. He's cupping my cheeks, waiting for me to break the silence between us. The proximity of his mouth to mine weathers his patience. "I need to kiss you," he says apologetically, pulling my face to his. We're still standing in the foyer, but he somehow picks me up effortlessly and sets me down on the stairs leading to the upstairs bedrooms. I lean back, and he returns his lips to mine, his hands gripping the wooden steps on either side of my head. Due to our position, he's forced to lower a knee between my thighs. It isn't that big of a deal unless you take into consideration the dress that I have on. It would be so easy for him to take me right here on the stairs, but I'm hoping we at least make it to his room first before he tries. I wonder if he's expecting anything, especially after the text I accidentally sent him. He's a guy, of course he's expecting something. I wonder if he knows I'm a virgin. Should I even tell him I'm a virgin? I should. He'll probably be able to tell. "I'm a virgin," I blurt against his mouth. I immediately wonder what the hell I'm doing even speaking aloud right now. I shouldn't be allowed to speak ever again. Someone should strip me of my voice, because I obviously have no filter when my sexual guard is down. He immediately stops kissing me. He slowly backs his face away from mine and looks down into my eyes. "Sky," he says directly, "I'm kissing you because sometimes I can't not kiss you. You know what your mouth does to me. I'm not expecting anything else, okay? As long as I get to kiss you, the other stuff can wait." He's tucking my hair behind my ears now and looking down at me genuinely. "Just thought you should know. I probably should have picked a better time to state that fact. But sometimes I just blurt things out without thinking. It's a really bad trait, and I hate it because I do it at the most inopportune moments, and it's embarrassing. Like, right now." He laughs and shakes his head. "No, don't stop doing that. I love it when you blurt things out without thinking. And I love it when you spout off long, nervous, ridiculous rants. It's kind of hot." I blush. Being called hot is seriously hot. "You know what else is hot?" he says, leaning back into me again. The playfulness in his expression chips away at my embarrassment.
"What?"
He grins, trying to keep our hands off each other while we watch a movie. He stands up and pulls me to my feet. Then leads me up the stairs to his room. He opens the door and walks in first, then turns around and tells me to close my eyes. I roll them instead.
"I don't like surprises," I say. "You also don't like presents and certain common terms of endearment. I'm learning, but this is just something cool I want to show you. It's not anything I bought you, so deal with it and shut your eyes."
I do what he says, and he pulls me forward into the room. I already love it in here because it smells just like him. He walks me a few steps, then places his hands on my shoulders. "Sit," he says, pushing me down. I take a seat on what feels like a bed, then I'm suddenly flat on my back, and he's lifting up my feet.
"Keep your eyes closed."
I feel him pulling my feet onto the bed and propping me up against a pillow. His hand grabs the hem of my sundress and he pulls it down, making sure it stays in place.
"Gotta keep you covered up. Can't be flashing me thigh when you're on your back like that."
I laugh, but I keep my eyes closed. He's suddenly crawling over me, careful not to knee me. I can feel him positioning himself next to me on his pillow.
"Okay, open your eyes and prepare to be wowed."
I'm scared. I slowly pry my eyes open. I hesitate to guess what I'm looking at because I almost think it's a TV. But TVs don't usually take up 80 inches of wall space. This thing is ginormous. He points a remote at it, and the screen lights up.
Wow, I say, impressed. It's huge.
That's what she said.
I elbow him in the side, and he laughs. He points the remote back up to the TV.
What's your favorite movie ever? I have Netflix.
I tilt my head in his direction.
Net what?
He laughs and shakes his head in disappointment.
I keep forgetting you're technologically challenged. It's similar to an e-reader, only with movies and television shows instead of books. You can watch pretty much anything at the push of a button.
Are there commercials?
Nope, he says proudly. So what'll it be?
Do you have The Jerk? I love that movie. His arm falls to his chest, and he clicks the power button and turns off the TV. He's silent for several long seconds. Then he sighs forcefully. He leans over and sets the remote down on his nightstand, then rolls over and faces me.
I don't want to watch TV anymore.
He's pouting? What the hell did I say?
Fine, we don't have to watch The Jerk. Pick something else out, you big baby.
I laugh. He doesn't respond for a few moments, while he continues staring at me inexpressively. He lifts his hand and runs it across my stomach and around to my waist, then grips me tightly and pulls me against him.
You know, he says, narrowing his eyes as he meticulously rakes them down my body.
He traces the pattern of my dress with a finger, delicately stroking over my stomach.
I can handle what this dress does to me.
He lifts his eyes from my stomach back up to my mouth.
I can even handle having to constantly stare at your lips, even when I don't get to kiss them. I can handle the sound of your laughter and how it makes me want to cover your mouth with mine and drink it all in.
His mouth is closing in on mine, and the way his voice has dropped into some sort of lyrical, godlike octave makes my heart pummel within my chest. He lowers his lips to my cheek and lightly kisses it, his warm breath colliding with my skin when he speaks.
I can even handle the millions of times I've replayed our first kiss over and over in my head this past month. The way you felt, the way you sounded, the way you looked up at me right before my lips met yours.
He rolls himself on top of me and brings my arms above my head, clasping them in his hands. I'm hanging on to every single word he's saying, not wanting to miss a single second of whatever it is he's doing right now. He straddles me, holding his weight up with his knees.
But what I can't handle, Sky, what drives me crazy and makes me want to put my hands in my mouth all over every single inch of you, it's the fact that you just said The Jerk is your favorite movie ever. Now that... He drops his mouth to mine until our lips are touching. That's incredibly fucking hot, and I'm pretty sure we need to make out now.
His playfulness makes me laugh, and I whisper seductively against his lips.
He hates these cans.
He groans and kisses me, then pulls away.
Do it again, please. Hearing you talk in movie quotes is so much hotter than kissing you.
I laugh and give him another quote.
Stay away from the cans.
He groans playfully in my ear.
That's my girl. One more. Do one more.
That's all I need, I say teasingly. The ashtray, this paddle game, and the remote control, and the lamp, and that's all I need. I don't need one other thing, not one. He's laughing loudly now. As many times as Six and I stayed up watching this movie, he'll be surprised to know there's a lot more where those came from.
That's all you need? Holder quips. Are you sure about that, Sky? His voice is smooth and seductive, and if I was standing up right now, my panties would without a doubt be on the floor. I shake my head, and my smile fades.
"You," I whisper. "I need the lamp and the ashtray and the paddle game and the remote control. And you, that's all I need."
He laughs, but his laugh quickly fades once his eyes drop to my mouth again. He scrutinizes it, more than likely mapping out just what he's about to do with it for the next hour.
"I need to kiss you now."
His mouth collides with mine, and for this moment, he really is all I need. He's propped up on his hands and knees, kissing me fiercely, but I need him to drop himself on top of me. My hands are still locked above my head, and my mouth is useless to form words when he's teasing it like he is. The only thing I can do is lift my foot up and kick his knee out from under him, so that's what I do. The second his body falls against mine, I gasp, loudly. I hadn't taken into consideration that when I lifted my leg, it would also push the hem of my dress up, way up. Couple that with the hard denim of his jeans, and you have a pretty gasp-worthy combination.
"Holy shit, Sky,"
he says between breathless moments of completely ravishing my mouth with his. He's winded already, and we haven't even been at it more than a minute.
"God, you feel incredible. Thank you for wearing this dress."
He's kissing me, sporadically muttering into my mouth.
"I really..."
He kisses my mouth, then runs his lips down my chin and halfway down my neck.
"I really like it. Your dress."
He's breathing so heavily now I can barely make out the mumbling coming from him. He scoots slightly further down on the bed until his lips are kissing the base of my throat. I tilt my head back to give him plenty of access because his lips are more than welcome anywhere on me right now. He releases his grip on my hands so he can lower his mouth closer to my chest. One of his hands drops to my thigh, and he slowly runs it upward, pushing away what's left of the dress covering my legs. When he reaches the top of my thigh, he stills his hand and squeezes tightly, as if he's silently demanding his fingers not to venture any further. I twist my body beneath his, hoping he'll get the hint that I'm attempting to direct his hand to keep going wherever it wants to go. I don't want him to second-guess himself or think for a second that I'm hesitant to go any further. I just want him to do whatever it is he wants to do, because I need him to. I need him to conquer as many firsts as he can tonight, because I'm suddenly feeling greedy and I want us to pass them all. He takes my physical cues and inches his hand closer to my inner thigh. The anticipation of him touching me alone is enough to cause every muscle from the waist down to clench. His lips have finally made their way past the base of my throat and down to the rise in my chest. I feel like the next step is for him to remove the dress completely so he can get to what's underneath it, but that would require his other hand, and I really like it where it is. I'd like it a little more if it were a few inches further, but I absolutely don't want it further away. I bring my hands to his face and force him to kiss me harder, then drop my hands to his back. He's still wearing a shirt. This isn't good. I reach around to his stomach and pull his shirt up over his head, but I don't realize when I do that it also causes him to move his hand off of my thigh. I may have whimpered a little because he grins and kisses the corner of my mouth. We keep our gaze locked, and he gently strokes my face with his fingertips, trailing over every part of it. He never looks away, and he keeps his eyes locked on mine even when he dips his head to plant kisses around the edges of my lips. The way he looks at me makes me feel... I try to search for an adjective to follow up that thought, but I can't find one. He just makes me feel.
He's the only boy that's ever cared whether or not I'm feeling anything at all, and for that alone I let him steal another small piece of my heart. But it doesn't feel like enough, because I suddenly want to give it all to him. Holder, I breathe. He slides his hands up my waist and moves closer to me. Sky, he says, mimicking my tone. His mouth reaches my lips, and he slips his tongue inside. It's sweet and warm, and I know it hasn't been very long since I last tasted it, but I've missed it. His hands are on either side of my head, and he's being careful not to touch me with any part of his hands or his body now. Only his mouth. Holder, I mumble, pulling away. I bring my hand to his cheek. I want to, tonight, right now. His expression doesn't change. He stares at me like he didn't hear me. Maybe he didn't hear me because he certainly isn't taking me up on the offer. Sky, his voice is full of hesitation. We don't have to. I want you to be absolutely positive it's what you want, okay? He's caressing my cheek now. I don't want to rush you into anything. I know that, but I'm telling you I want this. I've never wanted it with anyone before, but I want it with you. His eyes are trained on mine, and he's soaking in every single word I've said. He's either in denial or shock, neither of which are helping my cause. I take both of my hands and place them on his cheeks, then pull his lips in close to mine. This isn't me saying yes, Holder. This is me saying please. With that, his lips crash to mine, and he groans. Hearing that sound come from deep within his chest further solidifies my decision. I need him, and I need him now. We're really doing this? He says into my mouth, still kissing me frantically. Yes, we're really doing this. I've never been more positive of anything in my life. His hand slips up my thigh, and he slips his hand between my hip and my panties, then begins to slide them down. I just need you to promise me one thing first, I say. He kisses me softly, then pulls his hand away from my underwear, damn it, and nods. Anything. I grab his hand and put it right back where it was on my hip. I want to do this, but only if you promise we'll break the record for the best first time in the history of first times. He grins down at me. When it's you and me, Sky, it'll never be anything less. He snakes his arm underneath my back and pulls me up with him. His hands move to my arms, and he hooks his fingers underneath the thin straps of my dress, sliding them off my shoulders. I close my eyes tightly and press my cheek to his, fisting my hands in his hair. I can feel his breath meet my shoulder before his lips do. He barely kisses it, but it's as if he touches and ignites every part of me from the inside out with that one kiss. I'm taking it off, he says. My eyes are still closed, and I'm not sure if he's telling me or asking my permission to remove the dress, but I nod anyway. He lifts my dress up and over my head, my bare skin prickling beneath his touch. He gently lays me back against my pillow, and I open my eyes, looking up at him, admiring just how incredibly beautiful he really is. After regarding me intensely for several seconds, he drops his gaze to his hand that's curved around my waist. He slowly moves his eyes up and down my body. Holy shit, Scott. He runs his hand over my stomach, then leans down and kisses it softly. You're incredible. I've never been this exposed in front of someone before, but the way he's admiring me only makes me want to be this exposed. He slides his hand up to my bra and grazes his thumb just underneath it, causing my lips to part and my eyes to close again. Oh my God, I want him. Really, really bad. I grab his face and pull it to mine, locking my legs around his hips. He groans and slips his hand away from my bra and down to my waist again. He slides my panties down my thighs, forcing me to unlock my legs and let him take them off completely. My bra is quick to follow, and once all of my clothes have been removed, he scoots his legs off the bed and halfway stands up, leaning over me. I've still got hold of his face and we're still frantically kissing while he removes his pants, then climbs back onto the bed with me, lowering himself on top of me. We're skin to skin now for the first time, so close that air couldn't even pass between us, yet it still feels like we aren't near close enough. He reaches across the mattress and his hand fumbles over the nightstand. He removes a condom out of the drawer, then lays it down on the bed, lowering himself on top of me again. The hardness and weight of him forces my legs further apart. I wince when I realize the anticipation in my stomach is suddenly turning into dread and nausea and fear. My heart is racing and my breaths begin to come in short gasps. Tears sting at my eyes as his hand moves around beside us on the bed, searching for the condom. He finds it, and I hear him open it, but I'm squeezing my eyes shut. I can feel him pull back and lift up onto his knees. I know he's putting it on, and I know what comes next. I know how it feels, and I know how much it hurts, and I know how it'll make me cry when it's over. But how do I know? How do I know if I've never done this before? My lips begin to tremble when he positions himself between my legs again. I try to think of something to take away the fear, so I visualize the sky and the stars and how beautiful it all is, attempting to ease my panic. If I remind myself that the sky is beautiful no matter what, I can think about that and forget how ugly this is. I don't want to open my eyes, so I just count silently inside my head. I visualize the stars above my bed, and I start from the bottom of the cluster, working my way up. 1, 2, 3. I count and I count and I count. 22, 23, 24. I hold my breath and focus on the stars. 57, 58, 59. I want him to be done already. I just want him off of me. 71, 72, 70. Damn it, Sky, Holder yells. He's pulling my arm away from my eyes. I don't want him to make me look, so I hold my arm tighter against my face so everything will stay dark and I can keep silently counting. All of a sudden, my back is being lifted up in the air, and I'm not against the pillow anymore. My arms are limp, and his are wrapped tightly around me, but I can't move. My arms are too weak, and I'm sobbing too hard. I'm crying so hard, and he's moving me, and I don't know why, so I open my eyes. I'm going back and forth and back and forth, and for a second I panic and squeeze my eyes shut, thinking he's not finished. But I can feel the covers around me, and his arm is squeezing my back, and he's soothing my hair with his hand, whispering in my ear. Baby, it's okay. He's pressing his lips into my hair, rocking me back and forth with him. I open my eyes again, and tears are clouding my vision. I'm sorry, Sky. I'm so sorry. He's kissing the side of my head over and over while he rocks me, telling me he's sorry. He's apologizing for something, something he wants me to forgive him for this time. He pulls back and sees that my eyes are open. His eyes are red, but I don't see any tears. He's shaking, though, or maybe it's me who's shaking. I think we're both shaking. He's looking into my eyes, searching for something, searching for me. I begin to relax in his arms, because when his arms are wrapped around me, I don't feel like I'm falling off the edge of the earth. What happened? I ask him. I don't understand where this is coming from. He shakes his head, his eyes full of sorrow and fear and regret.
I don't know.
You just started counting and crying and shaking, and I kept trying to get you to stop, Sky. You wouldn't stop. You were terrified. What did I do? Tell me, because I'm so sorry. I am so, so sorry. What the fuck did I do?
I just shake my head because I don't have an answer.
He grimaces and drops his forehead to mine.
I'm so sorry. I never should have let it go that far. I don't know what the hell just happened, but you're not ready yet, okay?
I'm not ready yet?
So we didn't have sex?
His hands loosen around me, and I can feel his whole demeanor shift. The look in his eyes is nothing but loss and defeat. His eyebrows draw apart, and he frowns, cupping my cheeks.
Where do you go, Sky?
I shake my head, confused. I'm right here. I'm listening.
No, I mean earlier. Where'd you go? You weren't here with me because, no, nothing happened. I could see on your face that something was wrong, so I didn't do it. But now you need to think long and hard about where you were inside that head of yours, because you were panicked. You were hysterical, and I need to know what it was that took you there so I can make sure you never go back.
He kisses me on the forehead and releases his hold from around my back. He stands up and pulls his jeans on, then picks up my dress. He shakes it out, then flips it over until it slides down his hands. Then he walks toward me and puts it on over my head. He lifts my arms and helps me slide them into the dress. Then he pulls it down over my waist, covering me.
I'll go get you some water. I'll be right back.
He kisses me tentatively on the lips, almost as if he's scared to touch me again. After he walks out of the room, I lean my head against the wall and close my eyes. I have no idea what just happened, but the fear of losing him because of it is a valid one. I just took one of the most intimate things imaginable, and I turned it into a disaster. I made him feel worthless, like he did something wrong, and now he feels bad for me because of it. He probably wants me to leave, and I don't blame him. I don't blame him a bit. I want to run away from me, too. I throw the covers off and stand up, then pull my dress down. I don't even bother looking for my underwear. I need to find the bathroom and get myself together so he can take me home. This is twice this weekend that I've been deduced to tears, and I don't even know why, and twice that he's had to save me. I'm not doing it to him again. When I pass the stairs looking for the restroom, I glance down over the railing into the kitchen. He's leaning forward with his elbows on the bar and his face buried in his hands. He's just standing there looking miserable and upset. I can't watch him anymore, so I open the first door to my right, assuming it's the bathroom. It's not. It's Leslie's bedroom. I start to pull the door shut, but I don't. Instead, I open it wider and slip inside, then shut it behind me. I don't care if I'm in a bathroom, a bedroom, or a closet. I just need peace and quiet. Time to regroup from whatever the hell is going on with me. I'm beginning to think that maybe I am crazy. I've never spaced out that severely before, and it terrifies me. My hands are still shaking, so I clasp them together in front of me and try to focus on something else in order to calm myself down. I take in my surroundings and find the bedroom to be somewhat disturbing. The bed isn't made, which strikes me as odd. Holder's entire house is spotless, but Leslie's bed isn't made. There's a pair of jeans in the middle of the floor, and it looks like she just stepped out of them. I look around at the room, and it seems typical of a teenage girl. Makeup on the dresser, an iPod on the nightstand. It looks like she still lives here. From the look of her room, it doesn't look like she's gone at all. It's obvious no one has touched this room since she died. Her pictures are all still hanging on the walls and stuck to her vanity mirror. All of her clothes are still in her closet, some piled on the closet floor. It's been over a year since he said she passed away, and I'm willing to bet that no one in his family has accepted it yet. It feels eerie being in here, but it's keeping my mind off of what's happening right now. I walk to the bed and look at the pictures hanging on the wall. Most of them are of Leslie and her friends, with just a few of Holder and her together. She looks a lot like Holder with his intense crystal blue eyes and dark brown hair. What surprises me the most is how happy she looks. She looks so content and full of life in every single picture. It's hard to imagine what was really going on inside of her head. No wonder Holder didn't have a clue about how desolate she really felt. She more than likely never let anyone know. I pick up a picture from her nightstand that's turned face down. When I flip it over and look at it, I gasp. It's a picture of her kissing Grayson on the cheek, and they have their arms around each other. The picture stuns me, and I have to take a seat on the bed to regain my bearings. This is why Holder hates him so much? This is why he didn't want him touching me? I wonder if he blames Grayson for what she did. I'm holding the picture, still sitting on the bed, when the bedroom door opens. Holder peers around the door. What are you doing? He doesn't seem angry that I'm in here. He does seem uncomfortable, though, which is probably just a reaction from how I made him feel earlier. I was looking for the bathroom, I say quietly. I'm sorry, I just needed a second. He leans against the doorway and crosses his arms over his chest while his eyes work their way around the room. He's taking in everything like I am, like it's all new to him. Has no one been in here since she... No, he says quickly. What would be the point of it? She's gone. I nod, then place the picture of Leslie and Grayson back on the nightstand, face down like she had left it. Was she dating him? He takes a hesitant step into the bedroom, then walks over to the bed. He sits down beside me and rests his elbows on his knees, clasping his hands in front of him. He looks around the room slowly, not answering my question right away. He glances at me, then wraps his arm around my shoulders, pulling me to him. The fact that he's sitting here with me right now, still wanting to hold me, makes me want to burst into tears. He broke up with her the night before she did, he says quietly. I try not to gasp, but his words shock me. Do you think he's the reason why she did it? Is that why you hate him so much? He shakes his head. I hated him before he broke up with her. He put her through a lot of shit, Sky. And no, I don't think he's why she did it. I think maybe it was the deciding factor in a decision she had wanted to make for a long time. She had issues way before Grayson ever came into the picture. So, no, I don't blame him. I never have. He stands up and takes my hand. Come on. I don't want to be in here anymore. I take one last glance around the room, then stand up to follow him. I stop before we reach the door, though. He turns around and watches me observe the pictures on her dresser. There's a framed picture of Holder and Leslie when they were kids. I pick it up and bring it in closer for inspection. Something about seeing him that young makes me smile. Seeing both of them that young. It's refreshing. Like there's innocence about them before the ugly realities of life hit. They're standing in front of a white-framed house, and Holder has his arm around her neck, and he's squeezing her. She's got her arms wrapped around his waist, and they're smiling at the camera. My eyes move from their faces to the house behind them in the photo. It's a white-framed house with yellow trim, and if you were to see the inside of the house, the living room is painted two different shades of green. I immediately close my eyes. How do I know that?
How do I know what color the living room is? My hands start shaking, and I try to suck in a breath, but I can't. How do I know that house? I know that house like I somehow suddenly know the kids in the picture. How do I know there's a green and white swing set behind that house? And 10 feet from the swing set is a dry well that has to stay covered because Leslie's cat fell down at once.
You okay? Holder says.
He tries to take the picture out of my hands, but I snatch it from him and look up at him. His eyes are concerned, and he takes a step toward me. I take a step back. How do I know him? How do I know Leslie? Why do I feel like I miss them? I shake my head, looking down at the picture and back up at Holder, then down to the picture again. This time, Leslie's wrist catches my eye. She's wearing a bracelet. A bracelet identical to mine. I want to ask him about it, but I can't. I try, but nothing comes out, so I just hold up the picture instead. He shakes his head, and his face drops like his heart is breaking.
Sky, no,
he says pleadingly.
How?
My voice cracks and is barely audible. I look back down to the picture in my hands. There's a swing set, and a well, and your cat, it got stuck in the well. I dart my eyes up to his, and the thoughts keep pouring out. Holder, I know that living room. The living room is green, and the kitchen had a countertop that was way too tall for us, and your mother. Your mother's name is Beth. I pause and try to take a breath because the memories won't stop. They won't stop coming, and I can't breathe.
Holder, is Beth your mother's name?
Holder grimaces and runs his hands through his hair.
Sky,
he says. He can't even look at me. His expression is torn and confused, and he's been lying to me. He's holding something back, and he's scared to tell me.
He knows me.
How the hell does he know me, and why hasn't he told me? I suddenly feel sick. I rush past him and open the door across the hall, which happens to be a bathroom, thank God. I lock the door behind me and throw the framed picture on the counter, then fall straight to the floor. The images and memories start inundating my mind like the floodgates have just been lifted. Memories of him, of her, of the three of us together. Memories of us playing, me eating dinner at their house, me and Les being inseparable. I loved her. I was so young and so small, and I don't even know how I knew them, but I loved them. Both of them. The memory is coupled by the grief of now knowing the Leslie I knew and loved as a little girl is gone. I suddenly feel sad and depressed that she's gone, but not for me, not for Sky. I'm sad for the little girl I used to be, and somehow her grief over the loss of Leslie is emerging through me. How have I not known? How did I not remember him the first time I saw him?
Sky, open the door, please.
I fall back against the wall. It's too much. The memories and the emotions and the grief. It's too much to absorb all at once.
Baby, please. We need to talk, and I can't do it from out here. Please open the door.
He knew. The first time he saw me at the grocery store, he knew. And when he saw my bracelet, he knew I got it from Leslie. He saw me wearing it, and he knew. My grief and confusion soon turned to anger, and I push myself up off the floor and walk swiftly to the bathroom door. I unlock it and swing it open. His hands are on either side of the doorframe, and he's looking directly at me, but I feel like I don't even know who he is. I don't know what's real between us and what's fake anymore. I don't know what feelings of his are from his life with me or the life with that little girl I used to be. I need to know. I need to know who she was, who I was. I swallow my fear and release the question that I'm afraid I already know the answer to. Whose hope?
His hardened expression doesn't change, so I ask him again, but louder this time. Who the hell is Hope? He keeps his eyes locked on mine and his hands placed firmly on the doorframe, but he can't answer me. For some reason, he doesn't want me to know. He doesn't want me to remember who I was. I take a deep breath and try to fight back the tears. I'm too scared to say it because I don't want to know the answer. Is it me? I ask, my voice shaking and full of trepidation. Holder, am I Hope? He lets out a quick breath at the same time he looks up at the ceiling, almost as if he's struggling not to cry. He closes his eyes and lays his forehead against his arm, then takes a long, deep breath before looking back at me. Yes. The air around me grows thick, too thick to take in. I stand still, directly in front of him, unable to move. Everything grows quiet except for what's inside my head. There are so many thoughts and questions and memories, and they're all trying to take over, and I don't know if I need to cry or scream or sleep or run. I need to go outside. I feel like Holder and the bathroom and the whole damn house are closing in on me, and I need to go outside so there's room to get everything out of my head. I just want it all out. I shove past him, and he tries to grab my arm, but I yank it out of his grasp. Sky, wait! He yells after me. I keep running until I reach the stairs, and I descend them as fast as I can, taking two at a time. I can hear him following me, so I speed up, and my foot lands further than I intend for it to. I lose my grip on the rail and fall forward, landing on the floor at the base of the stairs. Sky! I try to pull myself up, but he's on his knees with his arms around me before I even have the chance. I push against him, wanting him to let go of me so I can just go outside. He doesn't budge. Outside! I say, breathless and weak. I just need outside. Please, Holder. I can feel him struggling from within, not wanting to release me. He reluctantly pulls me away from his chest and looks down at me, searching my eyes. Don't run, Sky. Go outside, but please don't leave. We need to talk. I nod, and he releases me, then helps me stand up. When I walk out the front door and onto the lawn, I clasp my hands together behind my head and inhale a huge, cold breath of air. I tilt my head back and look up at the stars, wishing more than anything that I was up there and not down here. I don't want the memories to keep coming, because with each confusing memory comes an even more confusing question. I don't understand how I know him. I don't understand why he kept it from me. I don't understand how my name could have been Hope when all I've ever remembered being called was Sky. I don't understand why Karen would tell me that Sky was my birth name if it isn't. Everything I thought I understood after all these years is unraveling, revealing things that I don't want to know. I'm being lied to, and I'm terrified to know what it is that everyone's trying to keep from me. I stand outside for what feels like forever, attempting to sort through this alone, when I have no idea what it is I'm even trying to sort through. I need to talk to Holder, and I need to know what he knows, but I'm hurt. I don't want to face him, knowing he's been hiding this secret all along. It makes everything that I thought was happening between us nothing but a facade. I'm emotionally spent, and I have had all the revelations I can take for one night. I just want to go home and go to bed. I need to sleep on this before we go into the fact of why he didn't just tell me he knew me as a child. I don't understand why it was something he even thought he should keep from me. I turn around and walk back toward the house. He's standing in the doorway watching me. He steps aside to let me back in, and I walk straight to the kitchen and open the refrigerator. I grab a bottle of water and open it, then take several gulps. My mouth is dry, and I never did get the water he said he was getting for me earlier. I set the bottle down on the bar and look at him. Take me home. He doesn't object. He turns around and grabs his keys off the entryway table, then motions for me to follow him. I leave the water on the bar and silently follow him to the car. When I climb inside, he backs out of the driveway and pulls onto the road without speaking a word. We pass my turnoff, and it's apparent that he has no intention to take me home. I glance over at him, and his eyes are focused hard on the road in front of him. Take me home, I say again. He looks at me with a determined expression. We need to talk, Sky. You have questions, I know you do. I do. I have a million questions I need to ask, but I was hoping he would let me sleep on it so I could sort them out and try to answer as many of them as I could myself. But it's obvious he doesn't care what I prefer at this point. I reluctantly take off my seatbelt and turn in my seat, leaning with my back against the door to face him. If he doesn't want to give me time to let this soak in, I'll just lay all of my questions on him at once. But I'm making it fast because I want him to take me home. Fine, I say stubbornly. Let's get this over with. Why have you been lying to me for 2 months? Why did my bracelet piss you off so much that you couldn't speak to me for weeks? Or why you didn't just say who you really thought I was the day we met at the grocery store? Because you knew, Holder. You knew who I was, and for some reason you thought it would be funny to string me along until I figured it all out. Do you even like me? Was this game you've been playing worth hurting me more than I've ever been hurt in my life? Because that's what happened, I say, furious to the point that I'm shaking. I finally give in to the tears because it's just one more thing that's trying to get out, and I'm tired of fighting them. I wipe them away from my cheeks with the back of my hand and lower my voice. You hurt me, Holder. So bad. Promised you would only ever be honest with me. I'm not raising my voice anymore. In fact, I'm talking so quietly that I'm not even sure he can hear me. He keeps staring at the road like the asshole that he is. I squeeze my eyes shut and fold my arms across my chest, then fall back into my seat. I stare out the passenger window and curse karma. I curse karma for bringing this hopeless boy into my life just so he could ruin it. When he continues to drive without responding to a single word I've said, I can do nothing but let out a small, pathetic laugh. You really are hopeless, I mutter.
13 years earlier. I need to pee, she giggles. We're crouched down under their porch, waiting for Dean to come find us. I like playing hide-and-seek, but I like to be the one hiding. I don't want them to know that I can't do the counting thing yet like they always ask me to do. Dean always tells me to count to 20 when they go hide, but I don't know how, so I just stand with my eyes closed and pretend I'm counting. Both of them are already in school, and I can't go until next year, so I don't know how to count as good as they do.
He's coming,
she says, crawling backward a few feet. The dirt under the porch is cold, so I'm trying not to touch it with my hands like she is, but my legs are hurting.
Les!
He yells. We walk closer to the porch and head straight for the steps. We've been hiding a long time, and he looks like he's tired of looking for us. He sits down on the steps, which are almost right in front of us. When I tilt my head, I can look right up at his face.
I'm tired of looking!
I turn around and look at Leslie to see if she's ready to run to base. She shakes her head no and holds her finger to her lips.
Hope,
he yells, still sitting on the steps.
I give up.
He looks around the yard, then sighs quietly. He mumbles and kicks at the gravel under his foot, and it makes me laugh. Leslie punches me on the arm and tells me to be quiet.
He starts laughing, and at first I think it's because he hears us, but then I realize he's just talking to himself.
Hope and less, he says quietly. Hopeless.
He laughs again and stands up.
You hear that?
He yells, cupping his hands around his mouth.
The two of you are hopeless!
Hearing him turn our names into a word makes Leslie laugh, and she crawls out from under the porch. I follow her and stand up as soon as Dean turns around and sees her. He smiles and looks at both of us, our knees covered in dirt, with cobwebs in our hair.
He shakes his head and says it again. Hopeless.
Saturday, October 27th, 2012, 11:20 p.m. The memory is so vivid. I have no idea how it's just now coming to me. How could I see his tattoo day after day and hear him say hope and how he talks about less, yet still not remember? I reach over the seat and grab his arm, then pull his sleeve up. I know it's there. I know what it says. But this is the first time I'm looking at it, knowing what it actually means. Why did you get it? He's told me before, but I want to know the real reason now. He pulls his gaze from the road and glances at me. I told you. It's a reminder of the people I've let down in my life. I close my eyes and fall back into my seat, shaking my head. He said he doesn't do vague, but I can't think of an explanation more vague than the one he keeps giving me about his tattoo. How could he have let me down? The fact that he thinks he somehow let me down at that young of an age doesn't even make sense. And the fact that he feels enough regret about it to turn it into some cryptic tattoo is really beyond any guesses I could fathom at this point. I don't know what else I can say or do to get him to take me back home. He didn't answer any of my questions, and now he's playing his mind games again by giving me cryptic non-answers. I just want to go home. He pulls the car over, and I'm hoping he's turning it around. Instead, he kills the ignition and opens his door. I look out the window and recognize that we're at the airport again. I'm annoyed. I don't want to come here and watch him stare at the stars again while he thinks. I want answers or I want to go home. I swing open the door and reluctantly follow him to the fence, hoping if I appease him this one last time that I'll get a quick explanation from him. He helps me scale the fence again, and we both walk back to our spots on the runway and lay down. I look up in hopes of spotting a shooting star. I could really use a wish or two right now. I would wish I could go back to 2 months ago and never step foot into the grocery store that day. Are you ready for answers? He says. I turn my head toward his. I'm ready if you're actually planning on being honest this time. He faces me, then pulls up on his arm and rolls onto his side, looking down at me. He does his thing again, silently staring at me. It's darker than it was when we were out here the last time, so it's hard to make out the expression on his face. I can tell he's sad, though. His eyes have never been able to hide the sadness. He leans forward and lifts his hand, bringing it to my cheek. I need to kiss you. I almost break out into laughter, but I'm afraid if I do it will be the maniacal kind, and that terrifies me, because I already assume I'm going crazy. I shake my head, shocked that he would even think I would let him kiss me right now, not after finding out he's been lying to me for 2 solid months. No, I say forcefully. He keeps his face close to mine and his hand on my cheek. I hate that even though every ounce of anger in me is a result of his deceit, my body still responds to his touch. It's an odd internal battle when you can't decide if you want to punch the mouth sitting 3 inches in front of your face or taste it. I need to kiss you, he says again, this time a desperate plea. Please, Skye,
I'm scared that after I tell you what I'm going to tell you, I'll never get to kiss you again.
He pulls himself closer to me and strokes my cheek with his thumb, never taking his eyes off mine.
Please.
I nod slightly, unsure why my weakness is getting the best of me. He lowers his mouth to mine and kisses me. I close my eyes and allow him in because a huge part of me is just as scared that this is the last time I'll feel his mouth against mine. I'm scared it's the last time I'll ever feel anything because he's the only one I've ever wanted to feel anything with. He adjusts himself until he's on his knees, holding onto my face with one hand and bracing his other hand on the concrete beside my head. I lift my hand and run it through his hair, pulling him to my mouth more urgently. Tasting him and feeling his breath as it mixes with mine momentarily takes everything about tonight and locks it away. In this moment, I'm focused on him and my heart and how it's swelling and breaking all at the same time. The thought that what I feel for him isn't even warranted or true is making me hurt. I hurt everywhere. In my head, in my gut, in my chest, in my heart, in my soul. Before I felt like his kiss could cure me. Now his kiss feels like it's creating a terminal heartache deep within me. He can sense my defeat taking over as the sobs start coming from my throat. He moves his lips to my cheek, then my ear.
I'm so sorry, he says, holding on to me. I'm so sorry. I didn't want you to know.
I close my eyes and push him away from me, then sit up and take a deep breath. I wipe the tears away with the back of my hand, and I pull my legs up, hugging them tightly. I bury my face in my knees so I don't have to look at him again. I just want you to talk, Holder. I asked you everything I could ever ask you on the way here. I need you to answer me now so I can just go home. My voice is defeated and done. His hand moves to the back of my head, and he drags his fingers through my hair over and over again while he works up a response. He clears his throat.
I wasn't sure if you were Hope the first time I saw you. I was so used to seeing her in every single stranger our age, I had given up trying to find her a few years ago. But when I saw you at the store and looked into your eyes, I had a feeling you really were her. When you showed me your ID and I realized you weren't, I felt ridiculous. It was like the wake-up call I needed to finally just let the memory of her go.
He stops talking and runs his hand slowly down my hair, resting it on my back, but tracing light circles with his finger. I want to push his hand away, but I want it right where it is even more. We lived next door to you and your dad for a year. You and me and Les. We were all best friends. It's so hard to remember faces from that long ago, though. I thought you were Hope, but I also thought that if you really were her, I wouldn't be doubting it. I thought if I ever saw her again, I'd know for sure. When I left the grocery store that day, I immediately looked up the name you gave me online. I couldn't find anything about you, not even on Facebook. I searched for an hour straight and became so frustrated that I went for a run to cool down. When I rounded the corner and saw you standing in front of my house, I couldn't breathe. You were just standing there, worn out and exhausted from running, and Jesus, Sky, you were so beautiful. I still wasn't sure if you were Hope or not, but at that point it wasn't even going through my mind. I didn't care who you were. I just needed to know you. After spending time with you that week, I couldn't stop myself from going to your house that Friday night.